thank you for the presence of heaven in this place and in our lives. We were created to be one with you. And we're here to allow you to reunite our hearts with yours. We're hungry, we're thirsty, and we know we were made for more than we've yet experienced. And so because of your great love, would you come and continue to touch us and transform us tonight with your presence, with your power, with your love, with your kiss, your embrace. We thank you for the privilege of being together in your presence. We just open our lives to you now and say, Father, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Jesus, have your way. Amen. Amen. It is a wonderful joy to introduce our friend Franklin Spence to you. We met Franklin face to face for the first time, I guess, in Raleigh this time last year, just earlier in the year. So about a year and a quarter ago now, and our hearts have just been knit together. The way that God has had Franklin on a journey and Amy, his wife, on a journey, and able to release to the body of Christ some of the revelation and intimacy that God has led him into is just so consistent, so much of appropriate for what God has called us to be as the Catch the Fire Myrtle Beach family, which is why we invited Franklin to come and be here for this weekend. And so I just want to invite you up here, Franklin, and come and share with us whatever the Father has put on your heart. And we're all of us looking forward to a refreshing and life-changing weekend together. This is just the first of our meetings. And let me remind you that these meetings are all free, and that's because we're receiving offerings for Forerunner Ministries. And so encourage you to be generous and to give lavishly into the kingdom. Use the boxes on the wall at the back there. I'm not going to pass things around. But there's also a QR code on the book table that you can use if you want to do that electronic giving to make a donation or to pay for books. So, Franklin, welcome. We're glad you're with us. Bless you.
Thank you.
And take us away.
Awesome. Wow, thank you so much. And it's great to be here. Feel like I've had such a warm welcome with Mark and Jane and into their home, and it feels like family. So, yeah, so that's great. And it's really good to be with you guys and to just share my heart and some of my journey with you. And so thanks so much for having me with you guys. And I think this is going to be an awesome weekend. So I'm Franklin. Nice to meet you. And I met some of you a couple of nights ago at the Berlinson's house. And it was great to connect a little bit there briefly. And I hope this weekend we'll get to know each other a lot more. So my wife Amy and our two girls, Claire and Alice, send their regards to you guys. And Amy wishes she could be here with me, but she's broken her leg, and so she's still recovering from that. So she's with us in spirit. So Forerunner Ministries, some of you probably never heard of this, and we're part of the Catch the Fire family. I'm originally Canadian, but now living for the past quite a few years in Basel, Switzerland. So that is right where France, Germany, and Switzerland intersect. And we run a prophetic teaching and equipping ministry. So so we have a heart to come alongside churches and individuals to partner with them to be raising up the quality level of the prophetic and intercession areas. And we do this differently than how many other ministries do this, because we are all about intimacy with Christ. So we'll teach you. You don't have to worry about your gift. Get your heart right with Him. Get your love right with Him. He'll sort out all that stuff. You never have to worry about those things. But falling in love with Him, getting your communication right with Him in your prayer closet, this is the heart of the prophetic. It's about the communication that you have with Him. And I just, someone who believes that the quality of all of our relationships that we have is based on the quality of our communication. And you know, this is why when you meet together with a friend that you haven't seen in 20 years and it's like no time has passed, it's because the quality of that communication is so good. And to get the quality of our communication with God, our two-way communication, to get that sorted out, that's relationship. Good shot. Hallelujah. This is why they have these markers in the Bible, so you can just flip back open again. So, hallelujah. So I'm here on a mission. So I got a mission for you guys this weekend, and this is what the Lord has asked me to do. To cast off the spiritual heaviness. Reignite your hunger for the Lord. Shake off your weariness and show you the doorway to God's presence. So how's that for a mission this weekend? You got, how many of you got some heaviness on you? Yeah, we got a few people. It's okay, you can be honest. Yeah, it's time to shake that off. It's time to get that hunger reignited again. Get back to that first love. And since I've arrived down here in South Carolina, it's just this word has been echoing through me, shift. Shift. And, you know, I feel that this shift that the Lord has for you guys is an invitation rather than a proclamation. And I wrote down that this is an invitation to a new type of relationship with God. And for some of you, this weekend is a restoration. You need a restoration. But for some of you, this is a relocation. Out of the natural and into the supernatural. So I'm here to open this door into His presence. But I want to say that if you can shift into that, you actually don't have to leave. You can stay there. You don't have to just experience His presence. You can relocate. You can have a lifestyle of supernatural. And so I'm here to share a little bit about that with you this weekend. Okay, so I want to share this thought with you. When you have a breakthrough, it can be a moment or it can be a movement. When you have a breakthrough, it can be a moment or it can become a movement. And a breakthrough goes from a moment into a lifestyle of ongoing breakthrough when it changes what you think your relationship with God is supposed to look like. Both what you believe about yourself and what you believe about Him. What you experience with God will, over time, rise or fall to the level of your expectation of what life with Jesus is supposed to look like. What you consider normal needs to shift. What you consider normal needs to shift. We have a vision statement, but it's really a manifesto. You know what a manifesto is? That's okay, you can participate here. We're all in this together, folks. So a manifesto is like a vision statement, but stronger. You know, and so, you know, back in the turn of the century, these collectives of artists would write their manifesto about what they felt art was supposed to be like. And this is our manifesto that the Lord gave us at Forerunner. And it goes like this. I refuse to live an ordinary Christian life. Come on. Well, why don't we stand up? Come on. I'm going to read this out. I'm going to read this over you, and you think about it. Can you agree with this or not? Okay. This is how it goes. I refuse to live an ordinary Christian life when I'm filled with an extraordinary God. With an extraordinary God. And if I truly believe that He fills me, I am confronted by the fact that normal is no longer my portion in life. Okay. If I truly believe, okay, we'll do this together. If I truly believe that He fills me, then I'm confronted by the fact that normal is no longer my portion in life. That I must live a supernatural life if I'm truly filled with a supernatural God. Live a supernatural life if I'm truly filled with a supernatural God. Woo! You can sit down. So if you've been accepting normal Christianity, you don't have to anymore. There's an invitation. This weekend is an invitation to a shift. To shift out of normal Christianity. To shift out of this life. And to shift into something supernatural. But it's to shift into Him. So Forerunner Ministries got birthed in 2004, just outside of Montreal in Canada. And the Lord surprised us by planting a house church in our basement. We hadn't planned to do this. It's a long story. We'll get into that later. And from basically meeting number one, the manifest presence of God showed up in our house. He was always the first to come. I'd be vacuuming the carpet half an hour before the meeting, getting ready for people to show up, and you'd literally step into His presence with the vacuum still running. You'd be on the floor, weeping, crying. And He showed up. We met twice a week. And every meeting, He came. And we had miracles. But the key thing that happened was very interesting. It was these unbelievable encounters that people were having with Christ. Mostly in their own homes, outside of the meetings itself. People would wake up with an angel standing at the foot of their bed, prophesying over them. Jesus would step into their living room. And it was encounters after encounters after encounters after encounters. And there was something about this that was so deeply transformative, so intimate. We literally wept our way through years of meetings. I don't think I ever preached a sermon during that time, because 80% of our meetings was just testimonies, just of what happened since the last meeting. And people would be encountering the Lord at their workplace, in their cars. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But it was a move of intimacy. And, you know, I would just read the encounters. That was our teachings. And he just showed up in a way. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times we'd be standing around our kitchen island with a cup of coffee after the meeting was done, our hands shaking, looking at each other saying, "What was that? I don't know. I don't know what that was, but he showed up." And you think, like, I know this person. Like, we're in house church. I know this person. And you see with their testimony how God showed up in the midst of their brokenness in a way that was so unbelievably extraordinary. Your mouths were just hanging open. And our constant thing was, God, how could you be so good? How could you possibly be this good? And everything we thought we knew about church got completely flipped on its head. We didn't have fancy lights. We had no pianos. We had no musical instruments at all. We had no worship team. We had we had a vacuum cleaner. That's what we had. And a coffee machine. That was it, man. But we were so hungry for him. We were so sick of religion. We just had to have something real from him. So this is how Forerunner Ministries got started. We were literally launched in revival. And maybe Toronto was the biggest revival. I don't know. And maybe we had the smallest. But it was ours. And I want to share that. I want to impart that to you guys this weekend. Well, I want to read to you, I think, what's probably becoming sort of a life verse for me. And it's out of Colossians chapter 3 in the Passion Translation. And I'm just loving the Passion Translation. Everything's getting dropped today. I'm just loving the Passion Translation. And it says this, starting at verse 1. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection. Well, you need to get a little more happy than that, okay? His resurrection is your resurrection too. Let that sink in a little bit. This is why we are to yearn for all that's above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned, at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on the treasures of the heavenly realm. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Oh, is he talking about the news? Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Wow. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. Whoa. And now, okay, whoa, wait, whoa. And now, your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. In Christ himself, and as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in glory. Wow. That is Colossians 3, starting at 1. Wow. You see, you read something like that and you can understand our manifesto. See, I'm done with normal Christianity. Not because of me, because of him. Because he's so wonderful. Because he's so... We sang about that. Extravagant love. So don't let yourself be satisfied with normal when he's extravagant. Because he says here that when Christ himself is seen, when he's seen, who I am is revealed. I can only know myself. I can only know the real me through seeing him. And so we can sing extravagant love, but when you see extravagant love, it's got to change something inside you. Because it goes from information to revelation. And the revelation has to change you. Because suddenly it's become personal. And if he's extravagant, if his love is extravagant, what does that make me? I forget, that's right. You see, it changes. Seeing him changes everything about your life. And you discover that you can live as a reflection of who he is. And it's a lot more fun doing that. So I grew up in church. Grew up in the Baptist church. Do we have any Baptists here? Former Baptists? Former Baptists, a few of you. Excellent. Well, this was in Canada, and my Baptist church, we were Convention Baptist. There's fellowship and convention. Anyways, there, whatever. But we were cessationist. You guys know what cessationist means? Okay, for those of you who don't know it, it's this silly idea that everything stopped when the last apostle died. Okay, so all the miracles stopped. All God wouldn't talk to you. And so we were, you wouldn't see Grace Baptist Church, we're a cessationist church. You won't see that written on the sign outside, okay? But you see, we had this filter. And it was this filter that God was distant and far away. And this permeated everything about our faith. Everything. And so it would go work like this, We'd stand up, you could stand up and read John 3:16, okay? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, whoever believeth in him. But it would go through this filter of separation, of distance. And what would come out the other end was God so hated sin that he sent his son to be executed. It filtered everything. And so it was confusing because the words were right, but the meaning got shifted. We had a bad case of religion. And I was happy being Baptist. I liked being Baptist. You know, I'm thankful, actually, for my Baptist upbringing. We loved the word. And you know what was great about being Baptist? It was very simple, okay? It was very clear what you needed to be the good Baptist kid. And I wanted to be the good Baptist kid. And so it was clear, it was easy, okay? You read your Bible an hour a day, every day, and attendance. That was simple. The good Baptists were there every Sunday. The backslidden ones were just there Christmas and Easter. Okay. You know, we used to do things like these sword drills. You ever do sword drills? Remember those? It was like you had to hold your Bible up. They called out a scripture. Boom, you know, who could? My dad always cheated. He had the little tabs. You know, he could find the chapter before everyone else. And so So this was our church. You know, we had, it wasn't like this at all. You know, we had the long wooden pews and the big pulpit up on the stand, you know, this great big wooden pulpit. And there was sort of like two wooden boards on each side, and that's, they had the hymns for that day, you know, with the little numbers that you slid in, you know, and Sister Louise is going to be playing the organ, and we'll be doing all 27 verses of hymn number 937. And as a special treat, we're going to do it extra slow. You know, and there was two hymn books. You know, there was the blue hymn book and the red hymnal. You know, and I remember one Sunday, they said, we're going to sing under the red hymnal. Be allowed to even touch the red hymnal? I mean, will God smote us if we open the red hymnal? And this is the thing, you know, every meeting was the same. It didn't matter. Didn't matter if it was a youth group meeting or Sunday service or whatever, you know, it was always exactly the same. And you see, I was very, very convinced in my head that we had the absolute best version of Christianity that ever existed on the face of the planet. You know, 2,000 years and we had perfected Christianity. And you know, I remember our pastor, he had this, I don't know, he'd be like this, you know, he'd be reading a story about the apostles, and he'd be like, if they only understood Jesus like we understood Jesus, then they wouldn't have had all these silly questions. You know, had they been Baptist. You know, and I just picked this up somehow, you know, and thought that, wow, you know, we have got this thing figured out. And I remember this on our Sunday school classroom wall, we had this big paper clock. Okay, it was about this big, and this was the second coming countdown clock. No joke, this is in our Sunday school classroom, and it was 11:58 and 37 seconds or something like this, and at midnight, that was it, we're done. Okay, I thought, I'm not going to make it through high school. And, you know, they're very, very focused on the coming of Christ. And he is coming soon. And only later did I realize they were lonely for him. Because they had this belief in their head that he was the way, way, way up there, Jesus. And we were the way, 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 way down here, way down here, people. And never the two shall cross until he comes again. And I had this thought that things will get so bad that he'll have to come again. Whereas I think Revelations is all about a wedding. And no one ever proposed to their bride with, "Honey, it's so bad out there that we have to get married." No, love. Love is the key that unlocks a wedding, right? Could you imagine what Amy would have said to me if I had proposed to her like that? "Amy, the world is getting so bad, we'll have to get married." You get your intimacy right. Fall in love with him. It changes everything. So I'm a 16-year-old kid. And at some point, you know, okay, well, the good Baptist kids read their Bible an hour a day, so I set my clock and started in Genesis and worked my way along. Why do they have all these weird names? I'm trying to read these names through Numbers and Leviticus and all this stuff. Anyways, by the summer of age 16, I've gotten to the book of Acts. And so I am working at a Christian summer camp up in Ontario in Canada. And I remember I have this student edition of the NIV Bible. And it has this like introduction page before each chapter. Gives you a little description, the history, who wrote it, and all that kind of stuff. So I'd never read the book of Acts before. And so it says there, "This is the history of the birth of the church." I thought, perfect. I know church. I'm like a church expert. You know, because we went Sunday morning and Sunday night. Wednesday night, you got it. Wednesday night Bible study. I was in the church youth group. I was in my high school youth group. I was in the city youth group. And all the meetings were always the same. So I was like, in my opinion, a church expert. So I'm expecting to see a sort of medieval version of the Baptist church. You know, I don't know, maybe they had stone pews instead of our wooden ones. Maybe they had their three hymns on the lyre or the whatever it is, I don't know. But this is the image in my head. And so I'm reading through this and I'm like, have you read Acts? I mean, a couple times. And I'm like, hang on, hold the bus. Isn't this the same guy that denied Jesus like three chapters back? What's this? These miracles. And, you know, it says right at the beginning, Jesus went up to heaven. And there are these guys, these imperfect guys. And I'm thinking, I can't remember a sermon my pastor preached that caused a riot in the town. They had to lower him over the wall in a basket. I mean, that wasn't a part of our Sunday service, you know. You know, the people are getting healed. We didn't even raise our hands in worship, okay? Let alone pray for people at the front. I mean, that was like off the grid. There's miracles. And then it's like not just one miracle a page. It's like a miracle every chapter. And then he's almost like teasing us with this. You know, it's like, well, we won't even bother laying hands on you. We'll just wave our little hanky. You know, that's too much work, you know. And then it's like, we won't even show up. We'll send them in the post. You know, we'll just send these to the post. Just walk past someone, they're getting healed. And I'm thinking, if this is the birth of the church, what happened? What happened? Good question. What happened? And I thought, he birthed this thing the way he wanted it. So, if God is the same yesterday, today, forever. So I said, Jesus, who are you? Like, seriously, who are you? I just need to know. Are you my Baptist Sunday school cartoon strip Jesus? Or are you this Book of Acts Jesus? Because there was something inside of me that said he couldn't be both. And so I just had this question. Paul had the same question. You see, the answer to that question can be information that educates you, teaches you. But the answer to that question can be revelation that changes everything. But I had this filter that he doesn't get involved. He's the way up there, Jesus. We're the way down here, people. And so I forgot about my prayer. And a day or two later, you know, I'm a camp counselor, okay? So we're at summer camp. You guys been to, do you have summer camps down here? Okay, it's mandatory in Canada, okay? You must go to summer camp, okay? This is where you got to learn to canoe, and you got to learn to light a fire and swat mosquitoes. Very important life skills. So I'm a camp counselor, okay? So I've got, it's boys camp. I've got, I don't know, 8 or 10 8-year-old rambunctious boys, okay? And we're in this cabin. And so it's the middle of the afternoon, and we're going to be playing Capture the Flag or one of these games in the afternoon. So I'm taking my boys from my cabin across the sports field up to the main lodge. They're all excited, so they run up ahead. So I'm kind of walking by myself across the field. And I hear a voice speak to me. I didn't hear it in my heart or in my head, but with my ears, I heard, "I am coming soon." And I turned around to see who was speaking to me. The field is empty. And for the first time in my life, the Holy Spirit nails me on that field. It was like a lightning bolt hit me. Fried every circuit inside of me. It was like this nuclear explosion. I was still standing, but I was so overwhelmed by this, I was unable to speak. And I couldn't talk for almost 8 hours after this. So I'm at camp, okay? There's 100 campers, 75 staff, there's people everywhere. I'm supposed to be in this game. I can't talk. I don't even know what's going on around me. I don't even know my name. And someone would walk towards me to come speak to me. They'd get about this far and they'd just turn. My kids would come up to me. They get about that close and just turn away. We go through this whole game. Nobody talked to me. Nobody spoke to me. I could hardly even move. I mean, I'm just standing there. It's dinner time. I'm supposed to serve them dinner at our table. The kids just went and got the food. They served themselves. They cleaned up all the dishes. 8-year-old boys don't do that. The whole after dinner, there was a whole after dinner activity. I have no idea what happened there. And I find myself almost like coming out of a concussion. I'm back, somehow back in my cabin. I don't know how I got there. I sat up on my bed. I thought, oh my goodness, my campers. I don't even know what's happened to my campers. I went around. They're all tucked themselves in their pajamas, in their beds, sound asleep. And I sat there on the edge of the bed and I thought, what has just happened? I think God just spoke to me. But that's impossible. Everybody knows that that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, not unless you're a missionary in Africa, okay? Missionary in Africa, life and death, okay? Life and death, maybe. Billy Graham, maybe. 16-year-old kid walking across a sports field? What? What? It's impossible. But if it wasn't that, then what was it? Then I'm thinking, what did he say? He's coming soon. Well, how soon is soon? It's tonight. The second coming is tonight. This is it, people. We're done. What do you do? Oh, my God. Okay, I am on my face, on the cabin floor. I'm repenting of everything. Don't worry, I've already repented of everything you ever did. Let me tell you, I repented of everything. I repented till I couldn't talk anymore, till I ran out of stuff to repent of. And I'm thinking, I got to get some air. Okay, just get some air, okay? And I stumble out of my cabin. It's dark out. And I'm walking up to the main lodge building, and I see this woman counselor, who's a friend of mine. She looks at me. She goes, what's the matter with you? You're as white as a ghost. And we sat down at this picnic bench there or something. And I said, I think God just spoke to me. Okay. Well, what did he say? Very suspicious. And I told her, I'm coming soon. She just stood up, walked away. No answer. And I felt crushed. Because I needed a friend. And you know, this experience did not fit with my concept of who Jesus is. And I didn't know what to do with this. It scared me. And not knowing what to do with it, I took this experience and I scrunched it up into the tiniest little ball I possibly could. And I pushed it away into the deepest, darkest corner of my heart I could possibly find. And I said, okay, Franklin, listen. You got too much sun. Not getting enough sleep. Drink some water. Eat some protein. Something, you know. We got to get back to normal living. And I very much just wanted to be a normal teenager. I didn't know that normal wasn't my portion. And so I'm doing my best to never think about this ever again. And so a week goes by. Now the boys' camp is finished. Now it's girls' camp. So I'm not leading a cabin. I'm now a canoeing instructor. So, canoeing instructor at girls' camp means five little girls pile into your canoe, drape themselves across the bottom of the canoe, and drag their hand in the water while you paddle them around the lake. Okay, this is what teaching canoeing means. Okay, so So I'm supposed to be teaching this canoeing class. So I'm going from my room down to the canoeing area. I'm halfway across the sports field. And everything around me just vanished. All the trees, all the buildings, the sky, the grass, gone. And I have what I now know is an open vision. I had no language for that at the time. And the hand of God reached down, picked me up off the ground like a rag doll. And he reaches back like this and he tosses me into like a Hubble Space Telescope picture of the universe with this proclamation, "This is how big I am." Boom. And I am flat out on the grass. I am weeping, sobbing, totally overwhelmed. The infinity of God just landed on me. And I'm like, "God, I can't even deal with my own emotions. I can't deal. And can't you tell time? I'm supposed to be at the canoeing area to teach the canoeing class." And somehow I dragged myself down. You know, we had these logs that you could sit on like a bench. I just collapse on one of these logs. I'm sobbing. I'm crying. All the snot is running down my face. I'm a mess. And I'm thinking, I am in no condition to teach a canoeing class. And canoeing area is a busy place. There's probably a dozen canoeing staff. There's dozens of kids there. And people would walk towards me. And I'm thinking, you know, "God, just don't let anyone talk to me. Because I don't have the words to explain this." And I sat there for probably 45 minutes, surrounded by dozens of people. Nobody walked up to me. Until I realized all five campers were in different cabins, different things. They all skipped class. None of them showed up. You're not allowed to skip class. Summer camp. So I pulled together the scraps of what was left of my life and back to my room. Now, this just didn't fit my concept of who is Jesus. I was very happy with the Jesus I had. It was simple. You read your Bible an hour a day. You went to church every Sunday. Wednesday night was a bonus. This was a Jesus I didn't know. I didn't understand this. And so I took this experience and I crushed it down as far as I could into the smallest little ball that I could possibly find, and I stuffed it away in the darkest corner of my heart. I said, "I'll never think about this. I'll never talk to anyone about this. Nothing. You say nothing to anybody." And I didn't have the trust relationships at this camp that I felt like I could go and talk to anybody. You know, I'm the introvert. You know, the introverts were scanning the room. See how everyone's sharing, you know? And nobody was talking about open visions and encounters with God. No. No. The conversation was, "I'm struggling to concentrate in prayer. You know, I don't understand the Bible." Nobody was dealing with the stuff I was dealing with. And so a week goes by. And in staff meeting that morning, they'd made this announcement, you know, at 3 p.m, we're going to all meet at such and such a building, which had been used for storage. We're going to clean out this building. You know, we need everyone who's free. We're going to come. We're going to clean this and sweep it and do whatever we need to do. So it's 10 to 3. I've been in my room reading my Bible. I'm just sitting up on my bed to put my shoes on. And everything around me just vanishes. And I find myself, eyes open, standing before the cross. Christ is there, crucified, right there. And on the cross, he looks down and he looks right. I don't know if you've ever experienced him looking right through your soul. And he says, this is how much I love the world. And this tsunami of his love crashes over me. And I'm weeping and I'm sobbing. All these years later, it's like it just happened. And I'm just like paralyzed. And I'm thinking, God, can't you tell time? I'm supposed to be going and cleaning out this room. And someone runs by my door. And without knocking or even looking in, yells out, hey, everybody, we already finished cleaning out the room. You've got an hour off. Bye. As Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. That's why you're to yearn for all that's above. Yearn for where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Feast on the treasures of heaven. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, not with the distractions of the natural realm. I'm here this weekend to cast off your spiritual heaviness. Reignite your hunger for the Lord. Shake off your weariness and show you the doorway to his presence. As his hand is extended, and there's an invitation to shift. There's an invitation to shift. And maybe you're in the place that you need a renovation in your life. But maybe there's something inside of you that says, Jesus, who are you? I need to know. I got to know, are you this Baptist Jesus? No offense to the Baptist Church. Or are you this Book of Acts Jesus? I just got to know. Maybe you're at the place where you've been thinking, I've accepted normal Christianity. I didn't even know there was another option. Never even occurred to me. I can tell you it never occurred to me. And if you want to make that shift, I want to lay hands on you and pray for you tonight. I don't know if we got some catchers or not. Any catchers? I guess we should have probably talked about that earlier. So you don't have to come forward, but if you'd like, I will lay hands on you for an impartation to stop living a normal Christian life and to start living an extraordinary life. Not because of you, because of him. Hallelujah. Okay, who's my catcher? Mark, you're my catcher. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I want you to look at yourself. Have you accepted normal Christian life? Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't know the real me was hidden in you. That I couldn't even understand that until I see you. When I lay hands on you tonight, I don't want you to receive passively. You can't receive the extraordinary nature of God passively. I want you to grab it. I want you to yank it inside of you with some vigor. Because we got to shake off weariness. For many of you, weariness has become your normal Christian life. Heaviness is normal. But that is not normal in my Jesus. We're here to shift some paradigms. Hallelujah. Yes. You're with me, Mark? Come on. Oh. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh. Hallelujah. Just grab it. Okay? Here it comes. Grab it. Come on up here, brother. You ready? Normal, go. Hallelujah. There's an extraordinary life. Weariness, go right now. Heaviness, go right now. I speak to that weariness to go in Jesus' name. Shh. Hallelujah. 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 Here it comes. Hallelujah. Do you want a chair?
I've been through many renewals.
Yeah.
The Lord spoke to me while you're talking. What was new, say 5 years ago, has become normal for me.
Yeah.
And I need to move on.
Come on. Hallelujah. It's time to move on. It's time to move up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Weariness, go right now. Heaviness, go right now. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I got some Holy Spirit on me. You ready? Here he comes. Get in there. Here it comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Weariness, go right now. Heaviness, go right now. Go, 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 go. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so done with normal Christian living. I'm so done with it. How could I live with myself being normal when you're so amazing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here it comes. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I got some glory on me. You ready? Catch her good. Catch her good. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so done with normal Christian living. I'm just done with it. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Not because of me, because of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All that weariness has got to go. It's got to flee. It's got to run. Come on, honey. Hallelujah. You ready? Here it comes. Grab it. Grab a hold of it. Sink that seed deep down inside you. Hallelujah. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse to live an ordinary Christian life when I'm filled with an extraordinary God. Oh. Okay. Come on. Step forward, step forward. Catch him. You ready? Here it comes. What's your name again?
Graham.
Graham, Graham, I see a road that forks like this. And in 6 months and in a year, there's a shift coming. He says the key to this is that he's upgrading who you are in him. That's the key to this shift. And so right now, all weariness goes, all heaviness goes right now, right now, right now, right now. Ordinary Christian life is done in Jesus' name. Is done, is done, is done, is done, is done. Receive. Hallelujah. Grab it. Grab it deep. Grab it deep. Okay. Are you up here too? You ready?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Here it comes. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, brother. You ready? You're ready for everything to change. Here it comes. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I got a hallelujah in me. I got a hallelujah in me. I got a hallelujah. I am no longer accepting normal Christian life. It's done. It's gone. It's out of me. I'm so over that. I'm so over that. I'm confronted by the fact that I must live a supernatural life. If I'm filled with a supernatural God, I must. I must. I must. Not because of me, because of him. Because of him. Come on, normal's done for you. It's done. It's done. It's done. Is done. There's a shift. It's a shift to his presence. And you don't have to leave that place. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, a little more, Lord. Don't let your presence lift, God. Come a little deeper. Let him wash away that heaviness. Let him wipe it clean. A little Windex to your heart. It's time for a fresh clean. Hallelujah. Because the wonderful thing is he is coming soon. He is coming soon. And he is that big. And he does love the world that much. You see, he's answering my question. Who are you? Who are you? Well, come on, Mr. Piano Player. You're gonna come on down here. Whoa, here he comes. Here he comes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Normal is no longer your portion. You must live supernatural because he's supernatural. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's gonna need that stick to get home, I think. Hallelujah. 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 This is the fun corner over here. Yeah. Wow. That's good. Yeah. We just want to invite you just to stay as long as you want here. Don't rush off. Let the Lord talk to you. If you need to go home, you're welcome to go home. But I would encourage you, just take some time with him. Yeah, just lay down. Take this time, let him talk to you. Just flow with him however he's going. Don't try to force it or push it in a direction. Just let him do his work inside you. These are precious moments. Some of you, there's like a hardness, a bitterness that just came years ago. Stuff happened in church, something. Somebody said something to you. Just let them wash that away. Just wash it away. You know, maybe there's been injustices done in your life. You felt you had a right to hang on to that. Just let it go. Mm-hmm.